Hopefully everyone's doing wonderful today. Such a beautiful day. You know, we need to enjoy a few days of beautiful days because pretty soon it's going to be 100 and something degrees. You know, I mean, you know, that's just the way Oklahoma is. So we need to enjoy the good days. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles or your devices, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Verses 4 through 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9 is what we're going to read tonight. I'm going to go ahead and read all those verses, and then we're going to look at them individually. Here's this. Says this. Always be full of joy. I'm reading from the New Living, by the way. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. You know, as we read these little verses of scriptures, first of all, we need to put things in context. You know, have you ever tried to hold your peace in the middle of chaos? You know, when everything's going crazy, tried to have peace. One author says, it feels like trying to keep a candle lit in a windstorm. You know, trying to be peaceful in the middle of a storm. But we need to put things in context. Paul here, writing, you realize that Paul writes these words not from a palace, but from a prison. You know, he doesn't write them while on vacation or in some kind of comfort. He pins them in confinement under Roman guard, and yet the theme of joy and peace flows through the letter like a river. You know, think about this. The Apostle Paul was in prison. He had opportunities to worry and to fret and to wonder, but instead he chose to have peace. So what are we choosing to do? You know, how is it possible to be full of joy and peace in the middle of trouble? Well, Paul gives us a secret here. You know, first of all, he says in verse 4, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Now, you know, the key word is here, it says always. Always means you all the time. I mean, how can you not be full of joy in the Lord whenever? I mean, I feel sorry for people who don't know Jesus. I can't imagine getting through life, you know, nowadays, not knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I mean, we have the greater one on the inside. You know, you realize that we should always be full of joy because we always know what to do whenever we face a trial or a circumstance. But Paul doesn't say rejoice when things go well. You know, a lot of times people, you know, they only rejoice when things are going awesome. But he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I mean, you know, good times, bad times, you know, which just kind of reminded me of a song from a show I used to watch as a kid back in the 70s. You take the good, you take the bad, then you have the facts of life, all right? You know, there will be good times happen, there will be bad times happen, but you know what? God is with you during all the time. I mean, think about going through bad times without knowing God's with you. I mean, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, the thing about it is when you think in your mind, what am I going to do? At least when I think in my mind, what am I going to do? Because there are sometimes, you know, things happen in life, you know, life happens and all of a sudden my brain says, what am I going to do? And all of a sudden down here, it says, well, I'm going to do what the Bible says because I've been taught that. What does the Bible say? But the thing about it is, if I don't know what the Bible says, I wouldn't know what to do. But praise God, we can have peace in the middle of our storm. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Our joy is not rooted in circumstances, but in Christ alone. Circumstances shift like sand, but the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know, if you need to be reminded that Jesus is with you during your storm, then all you got to do is turn back to the book of Daniel and see that Jesus was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego during their fiery furnace. And if he's with them during their storm, he's with you during your storm, because the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to say, well, you know what? These guys were better Christians than you. All right, so, you know, you figure it out for yourself. That's not what our Jesus does. You know, all we have to do is know that Jesus is with us. Now, the devil, on the other hand, will try to tell us that things are not going to go good. I mean, things are going to go bad. Well, you know, you heard a testimony from Brother Anthony when his baby Trey was born premature. The doctors were not very encouraging. The doctors, you know, I mean, you know, they were just giving facts, and they're saying, you know, that it doesn't, you know, it's going to be a battle. But praise God, the battle's the Lord's. And the deal is that Paul isn't asking us to ignore the pain or pretend problems don't exist. Instead, he's urging us to anchor our joy in the Lord. And you know, who never changes. The call to rejoice is repeated for emphasis, because it's a choice we must make daily. You know, it seems that sometimes, I mean, you have an issue, and you know, everything's going bad. You pray, you get peace, and the next morning you wake up and the devil tries to remind you of your issue again. See, it's a choice you make daily to rejoice in the Lord. You know what? You might as well rejoice, because it's a whole lot better than crying. You know, sometimes when you look at your situation, you're like, you know, what am I going to do? But Paul's command to rejoice is repeated, emphasizing the importance of joy in the life of the believer. But this joy is not a result of circumstances. It's found in the Lord. Even in hardship, Paul can say rejoice, because joy comes from a relationship with Jesus and not the things around about us. So, you know what? I can have joy because I know my Jesus. If you don't know who Jesus is, if you don't, you know, it's hard to have the mind of Christ if you don't know what Christ thinks or how he thinks. That's why we have to know what the Word of God says. Joy in the Lord is not a naive, is not naive optimism. It's the settled assurance that God is still in control, still good, and still with us, no matter the circumstances. You know, joy isn't based on what happens to us, but on who we belong to. Do you find your joy in the Lord, or is it tied to temporary circumstances? You know, we might have joy because of temporary circumstances. Maybe we received a new car. Maybe somebody blessed us with some finances. Those are great, but those are just temporary. But pure joy is joy in the Lord no matter what's going on. I'm sure that Paul didn't always have hunky-dory days while he was there in prison. I'm sure all the guards weren't treating him, you know, really super nicely, and everything was super nice. I'm sure he wasn't having T-bone steak for dinner every night. And you understand, you know, the prisons today compared to what Paul was confined to is a whole lot different. You know, not the same. The prisons today are luxury, because if they were, then people wouldn't stay, you know, in fancy hotels. They would stay in prisons. You know, obviously it's not fun to be in prison, but you know, my son, who unfortunately spent some time in prison, said this. He says, you know what's interesting? He said this, he goes, Dad, what's interesting is some people that are in prison are more free than people who are not. You know, because even though they're confined, they have found Jesus. You know, and the deal is that we need to find Jesus even though we're not confined to prison. So, you know, if you have lost your joy, then ask yourself, what am I rooted in? Is it in success and comfort or others' opinions? You know, those things will fall away. But if it's in Jesus, my peace will hold. Amen. Then verse 5, he says this. He talks about gentleness that reflects Christ. It says, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Considerate, for gentle, in another translation, means having a calm, gracious attitude. Why does that matter? Because a gentle spirit reflects the heart of Jesus Christ. You know, Christ was someone who was gentle. He was always calm. There's only one verse in the whole Bible where we see that Jesus maybe lost his temper a little bit whenever he turned over the money changers' temples. I mean, the money changers at the temple. Remember that? Of course, I always point out in a joking manner, that's because Jesus didn't have breakfast and he cursed the fig tree that morning. But anyway, I'm not sure if that's really the truth or not. But I mean, for the most part, we see in the Bible, you know, that Jesus was a very gentle person. You know, all right. But Paul reminds us the Lord is coming, so we should live like those who are expecting him, not in panic, but with purpose and in peace. You know, some people they panic because the Lord's coming soon because they know they're not ready. You know, so, you know, but how we treat people, especially when life is hard, shows who we believe in, and it shows who we believe is really in control. Is your gentleness showing in your conversations, your posts on social media, or your decisions in life? You know, I mean, some people might be gentle in nature, but on social media, they're more like a devil. I mean, some of the posts, I'm like, I mean, you know, I think some people on social media just like to stir up controversy. But what good is it going to do to stir up controversy or jerk somebody else's chain or something like that just to you know, rile somebody up or whatever? But we should be gentle all the time. Now, number 3, we should pray instead of worrying. Verse number 6 says this, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. You know, worry is a thief. It drains our energy. It steals our peace. But God invites us to bring everything to him in prayer. Our anxieties, our needs, and even our confusion. You know, this is not a suggestion. It's a command. You know, worry is the soul's attempt to control what it cannot. Prayer is surrendering that control to the one who already holds it all. Now, you know, understand, worry happens to us. I mean, obviously, something's going to happen. You're going to hear news. You're going to see something. Something's going to happen. And all of a sudden, worry will hit you. Worry is a natural emotion. But the thing is, it's not whether worry hits you. It's what do you do once worry does hit you. I mean, you know, we're all natural human beings. We're all going to experience things in life that it might be a cause for worry. But the deal is what are you going to do when you hit that situation that maybe you should worry about? That's when you have to know who your God really is. Because there is going to be times that, you know what, we might get news. Like, once again, you know, Brother Anthony, you know, whenever his baby was born, he got some worrisome news. All right, but, you know, the deal is, you know, what the Bible says, whose report are you going to believe? We're going to believe the report of the Lord. You know, thank you for giving us facts. It's okay to have facts, but, you know, there's facts and there's faith. And it's okay to hear the facts. And sometimes the facts make people worry. And sometimes whenever you hear the facts, your first instinct is to worry. All right? But, you know, what Paul is telling us, you know, is don't worry. Give it to God. Now the deal is it's a whole lot easier if you remember that off the bat than if you wait 2 or 3 days. You know, sometimes people, what happens to them is they worry for 2 or 3 days and somehow, some way, maybe they read a scripture or whatever and then they say, oh yeah, maybe I shouldn't worry. Or maybe they went out to the bookstore and have dad, got dad's book, How to Live Worry-Free, or whatever. Now, here's the thing. If that's one of your issues, maybe you should be like me. This is one of the scriptures I read every day. Every day, you know, because, you know, we all have an opportunity to worry. It's an opportunity. And when I think about the opportunity to worry, I always think about my grandfather telling the story. I guess he was, my understanding, he was standing on the porch with dad and my Aunt Pat and my grandmother. And my grandmother, I don't know what she was, you know, upset about, but she told my grandfather, she says, Kenneth, I don't think you would worry if me and the two kids fell dead right here on the porch. And my grandfather says, and what would I worry then? You guys are already dead. Obviously, he was, you know, kind of joking or whatever. But you know what? A lot of times, you know, we have an opportunity to worry, or we have an opportunity not to worry. It's really up to us. And to think, put things in perspective, here's Paul in prison writing these words. Hey, guys, don't worry when there's all kinds of trials. You know, I mean, you know, he doesn't even know what's going to happen sometimes the next day or who's going to say what or do what. But once again, you know, worry is not, I mean, this is not a suggestion, it's a command. You know, Paul says, tell God what you need and thank him for what he's already done. Prayer isn't just a petition, it's also praise. All right, you know, so, you know, a lot of times it seems that if you look at someone's prayer life, it's all about God, this is what I need, and this is what I need, and this is what I need, and this is what I need. But you know what? You know, Paul tells us, okay, it's okay to tell God what you need, but then thank him for what he's already done for you. Bring him to remembrance. Hey, God, you know what? This is what I need, but also I want to give you thanks, and I want to thank you for always being there for me in the past. You know, because I think that sometimes we think that it's almost, I know it's going to sound sacrilegious, but it's almost that we look at God like one of those genies in a bottle. You know, we rub the lamp and the genie comes out and, you know, your wish is my command or whatever. Sometimes it sounds like our prayer life is almost like that. God, I want this. I need this. And I need $1 million and a brand new jet. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, you know, maybe not that stingy or whatever, but it's like, you know, we're always asking God for stuff. He says, well, but I'm always needing things. That's okay. You know, Paul didn't say not to ask him. He said, you know what, when you ask him, also thank him. You know, how often do you say thank you? We read in the Bible that sometimes that Jesus never even got thanked. I mean, you know, only a few people would come back and thank him. We should thank him for what he's already done. But also, too, while we're thanking him for what he's already done, you know what that also does? That also puts us into remembrance. Hey, yeah, I mean, I've had situations before, opportunities to worry, but before, and I prayed and asked God, and God answered my prayer. So if he answered my prayer then, why would he not answer my prayer now? But you know, I think it's important to have gratitude. But you know, it's also, I think, sometimes good to have gratitude even when you don't need anything. Even when you don't need anything. You know, one thing that, a habit that my grandfather always had, and obviously you guys wouldn't know this because you weren't around him all the time. I had the opportunity to be around him all the time in the platform, you know, on the platform, in the car, at his home when he's watching football and getting mad at the TV, you know, different things like that. But one thing that he did all the time, especially when we're driving in the car, all of a sudden, you know, we're just driving along, going, doing something, and he would just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I mean, you know, he wouldn't say what he's thanking Jesus for. He's just thanking Jesus for just life. You know, as you get older, or I should say more mature, you know, sometimes you just thank Jesus that you're actually not laying in your bed, hurting, that you're able to live life and enjoy a wonderful day. You know, and it's interesting. What is interesting is the fact not just my grandfather did that. I'm going to tell you, there's a couple more people who I've actually seen do the same thing. And I don't know if it's because Pastor Bud Wright from Brazil, I would see him do that. But what's even more interesting is Guto, who's over in Brazil now. I mean, I don't know how many times I've been riding with him in a car, and I would hear him say, Obrigado, Jesus, which, thank you, Jesus, which I know a little bit of Portuguese, not a lot, you know, just like I know a little bit of Spanish, not a lot, but I am very fluent in Spanish, in food Spanish. I have found that out. And so I do know a little bit of Spanish, a little bit of un peu français, a little bit of French, you know, and a little bit of English. Anyway, but the deal is that sometimes we should just thank God just to just be thanking God. Even when you don't need anything, even when you're not worried about anything. How many times do you just have a prayer where you just thank God just because? Now, sometimes, you know, we have a prayer and we might be thankful because, you know, we had a relief and whatever we were going through all of a sudden disappeared. And then we have a Thanksgiving time of prayer. But do you have a Thanksgiving time of prayer when there's no issues, there's no problems, there's no answer that came today, but you're just thanking him just because? You know, I guess we should have a sermon called Just Because Prayer. I mean, you know, having a just because we love God, just because God loves us, just because he's able to get us through every situation, you know. So maybe you should try that out sometime when everything's going good, beautiful day, nothing's going wrong. Just thank God just because he is. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, like I said, Paul tells them, you know, tells us to tell God what we need and thank him for what he's already done. You know, gratitude actually shifts our perspective from what we lack to what we've been given. And that's why it's important to have gratitude to the Lord. You know, when we feel worry creeping in, and sometimes, you know, it's going to happen. It doesn't, you know, the deal is I don't want you to get mad at yourself because you find yourself worrying. What I want you to do is be able to realize that you're worrying about something when you don't have to, and then remember what the Bible says. All right, because sometimes what happens, people get so mad at themselves, I can't believe I sit around and worry about this for 3 days. Well, you know what? You know what? That's still not solving your issue. The problem is that, you know, what you need to do is when you feel worry creeping in, we pause, we turn that worry into prayer. We thank God for his provision, and we ask him for his peace. You know, what are you anxious about today? Don't rehearse it in your mind, release it in prayer. If there's something you're anxious about, you know, what happens is a lot of times when we're worried about something, we keep going over and over and over again in your mind. Have you ever tried to go to sleep when you're worried about something? You know, your mind's racing, especially maybe you have something that, you know, is really big the next day. Maybe you have an interview that you know, maybe for a new job or whatever, and your mind continues to worry about how it's going to go. You know, but we shouldn't have to worry about situations. We should just give it to God and have peace, even in the middle of a storm, you know. So, all right. Verse number 7, God's peace will guard you. You know, it says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You know, this is not ordinary peace, it's God's peace. God's peace is unlike any peace the world offers. It's not circumstantial. It surpasses understanding and acts as a protector over our hearts in minds. You know, God's peace is different. I mean, God's peace is able to have peace when everybody else around about you is all falling apart. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, I get it. There's things that we maybe ought to worry about, but I mean, you know, but then why? I mean, worry doesn't is not healthy. In fact, I know one thing that, of course, I have to change what his verbiage was, because my grandfather used to say that more people were in the insane asylum, or you know, mental institutions, we'll call them, you know, that's for correct, you know, because of worry than any other thing. You worried so much that you had what they call a mental breakdown. You begin to worry and to fret. But you know what? Why should we worry when we have God's peace? You know, like I said, it's not circumstantial. It doesn't matter what's going on around about you. It surpasses understanding. You get access to protector over our hearts and minds. In a world filled with chaos and confusions, God's peace stands guard, ensuring that we remain anchored in his presence. You know, the storm may still rage, but peace will anchor you. You know, sometimes you might think about God's peace. I mean, you know, the Bible says right here, you know, his peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Maybe you need to realize that that Jesus is standing guard over your peace. And anytime something tries to come in that doesn't, is not peaceful, you know, he's going to try to kick it out. But the devil's going to try to let it in. You know, and that's why we have to, what Paul talked about, renew our mind, that we have to have the mind of Christ. Because if we look at things from Christ's perspective, we're not worried. If we look at things from man's perspective, then maybe we get worried. You know what? But the thing about it is that we need to know who we are in Christ, not necessarily who you are, but who you are in Christ. But notice that the Bible says that God's peace comes after we pray and give thanks. You know, peace is often a byproduct of surrendered trust. You know, if your heart feels under attack by fear, by regret, by uncertainty, ask yourself, have I brought this to God in prayer? Have I thanked him? You know, do you feel peace today? If not, bring your concerns to God. His peace is available and will guard you, will guard you through the storms, no matter what they may be. You know, right thinking also leads to right living. Verse number 8 says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. You know, what we focus on shapes who we become. Paul urges us to train our minds. Don't let the world disciple your thoughts. Let the word do that. You know, we need to focus in on the things that are good. The things that are, what it says, true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. You know, these things point us towards God's goodness. These are filters for your thoughts. If it doesn't pass the test, don't dwell on it. You know, sometimes what happens is if we're trying to experience God's peace, but we're thinking on things that are not true, lovely, honorable, right, pure, and you know, those kind of things. You know, what are you feeding your mind? Because what you're feeding your mind is probably what you're thinking about. Are you feeding your mind too much bad news, too much negativity, maybe too much social media? You know, it's interesting because there's a lot of things on social media and they call it clickbait, you know, and they'll have something that's bad news because so you'll click on it and so you'll read about it because you know, they're trying to get you because inquiring minds want to know. Remember that in the National Enquirer, people have inquiring minds. But those things, inquiring minds, those things are not lovely. You know, they're not admirable. They're not pure. They're not holy. But what are you feeding your mind? You know, are you feeding your mind comparison? You know, I mean, are you trying to compare yourself with others? You know, and you don't feel you can measure up. We should replace it with what is excellent and worthy of praise. Are the things you think about lifting you up in Christ? Are they pulling you away from peace and joy? Because see, what happens is whenever we have that peace that passes all understanding, the devil will try to bring in confusion and chaos. You know, through things that we're around, through conversations that we have, through things that you see on the television or whatever. And lastly, put into practice what you've learned. You know, verse number 9 says, keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Now, I'm going to put this in thing. Now, obviously, this was the letter to the church in Philippians, to put into practice and to act like Paul. But I wanted to tell you, we should put into practice everything that we read in the Bible, whether it came from the Apostle Paul or one of the other apostles or from Jesus Christ himself. Amen. You know, we should put those things into practice. You know, the final piece of Paul's instruction was not just to know the right things, but to live them, you know, live them out. Knowledge of truth leads to transformation, and transformation is evident in how we live. As we practice the way of Christ, we experience the peace of God more fully. You know, so like I said, Paul was telling them, you know, basically the Bible says to follow me as I follow God, but we should know what God's word says. And if we know what God's word says, then we should live like we know what God's word says. So are you putting into practice what God has taught you? If not, start today. His peace is promised to those who live out his word. So in conclusion, Paul doesn't promise a life without problems. See, a lot of people think, well, if I become a Christian, I'm going to have a life without problems. No, you're not. He doesn't promise a life without problems, but he teaches us how to live with joy, peace, and clarity of mind, even in the middle of them. You know, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Be gentle and expectant. Trade worry for prayer. Let God's peace guard your heart. Train your mind to focus on what is good. You know, let me end with this. Joy isn't a personality trait. Peace isn't a passive feeling. Right thinking isn't automatic. These are spiritual disciplines, and they're cultivated in Christ and doing what the Word of God says to do. As we do these things, the God of peace promises to be with us. So today, no matter your circumstances, fix your eyes on Jesus. Rejoice, pray, and think on the truth. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your heart and your mind in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We magnify you. We thank you, Father, for everything that you are doing today. And Father God, we just thank you for everything you've done for us. We just give you praise and honor and gratitude for all the awesome things that you have done for us in our midst. But Father God, we just thank you right now that each and every time that we have an opportunity to worry, we thank you, Father, that instead of worrying about those situations, that we'll be able to give them to you, Father. We'll be able to have the peace of God that passes all understanding overtake us, even in the middle of our storm. And we just thank you, Father, for everything that you have done and everything you are doing. And we just pray a special blessing over each and every person that's in this room or watching us online. We thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. I guess there wasn't any visitors, right? So no visitors, but we want to just thank you all for coming. But you know what? Maybe next time, bring somebody with you. You know, there's probably somebody that could have used this sermon. I realize I can watch it online, you know, afterwards or whatever. But you know, maybe thinking about bringing somebody with you at some point in time. You know, the easiest way to bring someone with you is say, hey, come to church with me. I'll take you out to eat afterwards. I mean, so. People can't refuse that. Amen. Well, if you need prayer for anything, the way we do it on Wednesday, we have individuals down here. If you happen to be a man, here's the men over here. If you happen to be a woman, you can visit the woman over there. If you need prayer for anything, whether it's salvation, whether it's healing, whether it's, you know, whatever it might be, just come down here and pray with them. Amen. Amen. Well, we'll be right back here on Sunday morning. Amen. 10 a.m. God bless you. Shake hands with somebody and you're dismissed.